For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Most footwear brands overlook natural materials for cheaper synthetic alternatives. But when it comes to quality, Mother Nature knows best. Allbirds took that idea and ran to create their iconic wool runners. Wool runners are made with premium supernatural materials that are both comfy and durable, so you can run to the ends of the earth or just to the store. Plus, they're machine washable to stay looking as fresh as the first day you got them. The Wool Runner Upper is made with super fine ZQ certified merino wool that's breathable, temperature regulating, and moisture wicking. And the sugarcane based sweet foam midsoles cushion your feet and put a little bounce in every stride with all day support. Allbirds are constantly innovating to increase the performance and longevity of their materials. Even on your toughest outings, you'll wear out before your shoes do. This year, take a big step forward for Mother Nature with the Allbirds Wool Runner. Discover your perfect pair today at allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
However you want to make a splash this year, Wool Runner Mizzles from Allbirds can help every step of the way. Wool Runner Mizzles are shoes crafted with premium supernatural weather repellent materials. The high top uppers are moisture wicking merino wool with puddle guard technology, and the supernatural rubber treads ensure all weather traction, so you can jump into anything, rain or shine. Make a splash with Wool Runner Mizzles from Allbirds. Discover your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's Allbirds.com.
All right, welcome to Was It Real? The Hills Rewatch Podcast, Season 1, Episode 10, Timing is Everything. And today, well, we have an OG Hills producer, Sophia Rossi, joining us. Welcome, Sophia. How are you doing?
Good, thank you for having me.
It's been too long.
No, you are a part of our lives every day.
See, Sophia was my homie outside the producers. We just were like, she was the homie. Sophia, give the fans your background and how you got started on the Hills and how you became kind of part of the casting process.
I'm like trying to remember, but basically I did the pilot because one of the producers, I had worked on another show and they were saying that they were going to do an extension of Laguna and I hadn't seen Laguna. And so I did the pilot, and then in between the pilot was like 6 weeks, and then we sort of just went straight into production. But I like remember thinking of you guys being like, the kids. And I was like, wait, I wasn't like that much older than them. But like, just suddenly you had to like have this like separation. But yeah, I remember how we cast Audrina. And then I remember, yes, but I remember my life sort of like bleeded in because
you were like one of the girls. I remember that. Like, yeah. She should have been on the show. Like,
She was
kind of like on the show.
Well, but I think we all called you for everything, like advice and like,
you used to lose your phone and you only had one number that you memorized and you would call me. You're like, I'm so sorry I lost my phone, but you're the only number I know by heart. And I was like, I have a great phone number.
I saw your number every day.
No, I have a very good phone number. Well, it's easy. Yes. I won't say here. But yes, I was like, Audrina, you're like, I'm sorry, I happened again. I lost my phone.
Help me. Yeah.
I'm so excited to see this because I haven't seen it in so long. And I like, it was such a meaningful time.
I know. Well, this episode in particular, it's the last episode of season one. So it's the big Paris, Jason and Lauren episode. So we got a lot of questions, but it's called Timing is Everything.
Yes.
And I think at the top, it was Lauren and Jason, this beach house.
Right.
So they wanted to get this house to share with each other over the summer. Was that like...
They wanted to. Yeah,
they
totally.
Did they? See, sorry. There we go.
We're like 21. We love a beach house. And we're like... Yeah. I think, you know, I'll just say like holistically, I think anything with the location is a producer. Only because I think that everyone was young and didn't really have means to do those things. And then also a lot of people were not from LA and I'm from LA. And so one of the big parts of my role was choosing locations that we think people would go to. So how outside, like what clubs they would go to. They worked at I worked at Bolt House when I was younger, like those sort of things. So I think Malibu was sort of that example of like,
especially in LA, and
yeah, just like Lauren goat. Wasn't from here, and like everyone had sort of, it was sort of like, where do we have our birthday? And I was like, I guess Koi, you know, like it sort yeah. of just happened
Koi.
Like that.
Oh my God.
That was her birthday. Yeah,
is that still open?
That. Yeah, yeah, it's still open. Good, by the way.
Let's look at the crispy rice, little baked really crab handrub.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that sounds
right,
good.
But that's an example. Yeah.
I'm like hungry.
Oh, okay, so this is about the a lot of Teen Vogue stuff.
Yeah, lots of Teen Vogue with Lisa Love, and how, you know, she talked to Lauren and Whitney and about Fashion Week assignments and then internship.
Like, so back to the house, though. Did they actually live in it after they wrapped the show? Because I know that the ending on this – the ending is like they're by themselves.
This is honestly, I actually tried to remember this the other day. I think what happened was that because we had done the pilot and we suddenly got into production, it was really hard to keep on people's real lives. And so Lauren and Jason were moving so quickly in their relationship. And so we took a hiatus, and a lot happened during the hiatus. Yeah. And so production was like, never a hiatus again. And so we didn't have one for six years.
We filmed nonstop.
Which is very true. Very true.
Well, we did it because that happened. And then it became like, obviously getting famous was the second part. But the first part was, as soon as you go on hiatus, like people's real lives happen. So as much as I could check in, like they'd be like, especially with phones, they'd be like, oh, we're not talking anymore. Or we broke up. And you're like, what? Like,
we need to get that on camera.
You know, so I think this was an example of we were sort of retrofitting a real-time breakup, you know. So, which was unfortunate and I guess fortunate for TV, but it was like their real breakup.
Yeah.
So.
And then this episode too, it's LA Fashion Week, right?
Yes.
And so Lauren has to get Lisa like two extra tickets for the Teen Vogue editors or something.
Yeah.
And she seems really stressed out. And I feel like that was for the show. Like,
well, okay. I will say this. Lauren and Whitney really believe that they had a real internship. Like I'm saying in their mind that this was like and they did. I'm not saying they did it. I'm saying like in their mind, they'd be like, we have to finish steaming that dress. And I'd be like, okay, we'll send a PA up. Like, it's fine. You know, but like, but in their mind they did. So just,
that's what kept
that's
it.
Amazing.
That's
amazing.
Understand the context so real, is like, right. It felt Whitney really did try to become an intern there. Like, it was Lauren's dream internship. Like, all those things are real. But in order to like produce that, we had to do a lot of the extra background producing, but not make them feel that way. Mm-hmm. So in their mind, everything, the stakes did feel really high, but they were not in general. But in order to do that. So yes, she did really believe she had to do things for Lisa Love.
You know? I mean, it came across so authentic.
Yeah, and that's why it is. I don't think that part is fake. I just think a lot goes into filming that.
Mm-hmm. So like the LA Fashion Week and just adding to the chaos and just storylines and all of that too.
Yeah, like big setups.
Rushing and stress. And,
it was a big crew too. I mean, it was like that was a massive production.
How were you guys able to shoot that fashion show? Because it was Jack Nicholson's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was her show.
I think we got really good at positioning people in certain sections. Like, you guys had like frameworks to walk around, and sometimes they'd go off handheld and like, you know, follow each other. But you know, one of our cinematographers, do you guys remember Rachel?
Yes.
She was nominated for an Oscar.
What?
Yeah, like the first female cinematographer. Yeah.
That's so cool.
And she would always like try to set up the shots all the time. Like, Rachel, we don't care. Like, keep it moving. And she's like, no, no, it needs to look really good. Like,
what?
We had like really like
it was cinematic.
A lot of our crew
was
from like AFI, so they took it really seriously. So I think what they did is just like they scouted the locations all the time. They kind of made sure where everyone stood. We like released everyone in the room so they could, like, anytime anyone talked to anyone, they were prepared. So a lot of pre-production went into it. But those big locations are kind of what make it so special. It's like no one had access to
LA to the clubs, first and foremost, especially like an Alliance or the Brent Bullhouse clubs, where like Josh was like, hell no, we're not getting no cameras. Mm-hmm. Brent was the same.
Right, of course.
Jen and Brent, no cameras in the club. If I see you take a picture, with your, like, even if you brought like your little, like, they were just like completely no cameras. Everything was, and for there to be the first time that you were going to see inside a club.
But we did it justice. And I think anyone like that saw it on the show, like, does talk about being like Ledoux.
I was going to say, you guys made Ledoux pop.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But this is the first time anyone in the world was able to see what happened behind the scenes at a LA club. Because LA clubs were like the...
Yeah, it was definitely like a moment in that. But yeah, I just remember like filming in club scenes, and like as soon as I saw like the hot dog vendor, I was like, oh, we're almost done. Like, I like we would be watching in the back. I was like, okay, we got this.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So Heidi, she's at Bolt House. And that was kind of her real job in the beginning, or no?
Yeah, I worked at Bolt House when I was like 18. And so when we were looking for types of jobs, she said she really wanted to be in nightlife. And so she interviewed there. And then it was her real job because at that point, I think she did need to like work too. But she wasn't, it was interesting that that was her real job because she was never really into nightlife, you know? So I think
she just wanted to be around everything that was fun and like
totally.
You know,
I'm just saying like she never had like that desire. She wasn't like to be. I mean, she would go out, but I don't think that was really like her thing.
I know Brent gave her the two tickets to the fashion show, which she brought me as her plus.
Yeah.
But did you guys? I mean, that had to have already been planned that we were going, or did Brent really give her those two tickets as like his?
I think, I mean, I don't remember, but we probably were like, I mean, I don't think it's that hard to get two tickets for LA Fashion Week.
I mean, I think the show was.
I think we also really want to upplay LA Fashion Week. Like, no one's ever heard of it in a real way. But I think we were like, okay, this is a great, like, we're going to get to New York eventually. Let's like, let's put a lot of, these are just, they're really good locations.
Beautiful. Like, it was shot so beautifully and just so intriguing, like, seeing fashion and models and,
you know. Looked like a real show.
Yeah.
It looked like, oh, LA Fashion Week is dope.
But wasn't it at Smashbox at the other location?
That was at Smashbox, not at the Quixote Santa Monica Boulevard one.
Right.
The other one.
Yeah. They did a good job. I think we just knew it was going to be a good setting with a lot of.
And it was nice that where I really worked there. Like everything was intertwined naturally, which was great.
We used to come film there and you'd be like, we're like, where are the plugs? Whatever. You're like, oh, I'll show you. We're like, no, you're talent.
I mean, I really work here.
Yeah. So that was.
Yeah.
I can't believe Kelly was so early on in this season.
Kelly Catrone, I didn't think she came
on. She came on gangster.
She came on.
She's the last episode. That's how you introduce her. She doesn't. Lauren doesn't know who she is.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm looking for Kelly Catrone. He's like, that's me. What's up?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Like, she gangstered her.
Yeah.
Well, because later on she's a big factor, and then you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
how Lauren gets her internship.
I know. Yeah. I still talk to her every now and then.
She's funny.
She's so funny.
Yeah.
She's actually really cool to hang out with and. Yeah, she was
great on the show. Just that last
Do you keep
episode.
Up with like Jen and Brent and them, Sophia?
I do. Yeah, we check in, and I honestly think that like it was such a they were like separate relationships. I was just wanting to make sure we did them justice because it was like their work, you know. And I think they were. I didn't want them to like think we were like taking advantage or being because it is a lot to like come into a club and kind of distract it. But I think overall it worked out. But they were happy about it.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, with Kelly, how involved was she in that fashion scene? Like, did she was that all her, or did you guys kind of
that no, she
the, she was rolling her eyes. And
yeah.
She'd be like, oh my God. You need to hurry up. If you're gonna be in the fashion world, you need to.
She's like, I need names.
She's a character.
She's I don't care if they're at Vogue. What are their names? I know everyone.
Yeah,
I think people really gravitated from the producer side to like characters. It just makes your job so much easier, and she's definitely a character. And even Lisa loves a character in her, like, as much as she doesn't give it.
Yeah. Did you guys kind of obviously have to kind of guide her and be like, can you like or prep her in ways about certain things?
Yeah, I think they always kept saying, like, I think they had a hard time with our timeline. I don't know if you guys remember. You guys would always be like, is this before or after Christmas? Or like, there's like timeline stuff that we would have. And so I think that they were like, this is my real job. Like, can you just...
They don't like, get it. We're like in La La Land, like TV land.
Yeah. So I think though, but the only prepping they really needed was, you know, sometimes they're like, I would really say this. Like a big statement everyone always said is I would never really say that, you know? And we'd be like, well, we'd never really be here. So I think that they were sort of like, this is what I would say.
Yeah, that's good because then it's more genuine.
Like, you guys were really good at letting us, when we were put into situations, letting us actually finish out the conversations without interrupting, without, I mean, like, I feel like that was something, that was a big problem with the new Hills, the new beginning was like, soon as we'd get rolling, they just would come up and be like, oh, no, nope, stop. Like, we need you to talk about it. And it just kind of like...
It ruined the whole mood.
You know, I think about it a lot because we film so much in LA and I get like, there's just so many restaurants where I'm like, this is two hills for me. Like, or, you know, like, because we just sat in the car listening to like 3-hour dinners, you know, in order to use one line. But it was so funny for us.
Yeah.
So funny. You, Brody, you have one of my all-time favorite.
Oh, wait, what is it?
Okay, so we're at a restaurant and it's you and Lauren and you're eating and you're having a soup and you're like, what is this? And you're like, you know what? I think this is lobster bisque. And we were like, this is definitely not lobster bisque. You're like, yeah, you know what? It's totally lobster bisque. Like, we just were dying in the car because, like, there was no one to be like, hey, guys, this is not really that, yeah, whatever. And you're like, okay, but you were like kids, like on a date or like whatever, like going out. So it was just fun. This is definitely lobster. I'm like, totally, it's lobster bisque. So this is more about Lauren and her experience.
Yeah, getting the two girls in, or not girls, but like the two Vogue editors into the fashion show, which she seemed really stressed out about. And then whenever me and Heidi walked in, it's like the look on her face, she thought we were crashing the party. You're like, what are you doing here?
Right, because she took her work
seriously. Yeah, yeah, she did take it very serious.
It was cool to see Lauren kind of like, because I was watching it last night and I'm like looking at it with my wife, and she was like, I never saw this stuff. My wife never watched those episodes, the first season. And she was seeing like how like Lauren, like how you really see her come to age, like become a little mogul little by little, and like all the steps that she took. That was one of the biggest steps where like she came through for Lisa. Like, mm-hmm. I did it. Like, yeah. There's no way like anybody like.
She was a great producer, you know. She didn't know it, but I think that's like what makes her so successful is in this she understood. She really wanted to work hard, you know. Yeah. And I think filming makes it where she probably didn't get the full advantage she could get out of working at Teen Vogue because we were filming. Mm-hmm. But she got other benefits. But I do think that she did really go to fashion school, you know. Yeah. Like that was.
And
that was real.
I remember she would sit there and had to sketch and do homework every night.
Yeah, I basically went to FITM. I sat in her classes. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, yeah. They were like, what is a subsidiary of Marc Jacobs? And they'd be like, Mark by Mark. I'm like, totally.
Well, did Lauren really flub the names or was that made up?
Yeah, like, I think she did. Yeah. But I mean, like, I think also, like, if you're not from LA, New York, these are like legends in a very specific world. So it's hard to ask a girl from Laguna to be like, I know who Hamish Boyles
is. I mean, she was thrown into there.
Yeah.
Into that moment and just, she did well. Lauren's always been a good problem solver.
Mm-hmm.
Just, even with friends and advice, like the advice giver.
Yeah, she really is.
Is your dog's breed mix a mystery? You're not alone. About 72% of pup parents are puzzled when it comes to their dog's breed. It's time to end these guessing games and get the answers with Embark Dog DNA Test. Now, before digging into details, we'd like to thank EmbarkVet.com for supporting Was It Real? Go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $40 with promo code Hills. So I love and I'm so excited to get this Embark DNA test because I have a dog named Lady and she is getting older. So I would love to learn anything about her to help her through these last few years and to see what her DNA results are.
In less than 30 seconds, Embark's soft swab collects enough saliva to analyze twice as much genetic data as a competition. In fact, Embark screens over 210 genetic health risks across 350 breeds. That's more breeds tested than any other dog DNA test.
The process is so simple. You swab your pup with the cheek swab sent to you, mail it back in the provided prepaid return envelope, and in just a few weeks, your dog results will be ready. Plus, Embark can help you and your vet put together a personalized care plan for your dog. When I did it with Lady, it was so easy. It took seconds. All I did was swab her cheek. I got the cotton swab nice and wet. And then you put it inside the little package and you mail it in. And then Embark literally sends you updates when they receive it and then what the process is. You know your best friend deserves the best care possible. So be proactive with their health with Embark Dog DNA Test. Just go to EmbarkVet.com and use promo code HILLS to get $40 off an Embark Breed and Health Kit or Purebred Kit with free shipping. That's promo code HILLS to save today.
There's a certain confidence that comes with being properly groomed. There's an aura, a vibe. You can just tell by the way they carry themselves. We call this BGE, big groomed energy. And there's only one way to get that BGE, and that's Manscaped. Manscaped's brand new Platinum Package 4.0 is the biggest bundle they've ever offered, giving you a bulk discount on Manscaped's top products. Inside this Platinum Package, you'll find their lawnmower, 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear, nose, and hair trimmer, and ultra premium TM body wash, ultra premium TM 2-in-1 shampoo plus conditioner, ultra premium deodorant, and crop preserver anti-shaving ball deodorant, and their crop reviver. Manscaped is by far the leader in below the waist grooming. I personally love the anti-shaving ball deodorant. It's perfect for this heat wave that just came to LA. With the purchase of the Platinum Package, Manscaped will throw in two gifts, the Manscaped TM Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HILLS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use code HILLS. Unlock your big groomed energy with Manscaped. And remember, when you trim the hedges, the tree stands taller.
But you're in this episode too, right? You come to the...
I go with Heidi to the fashion show.
But you're still living at this point across the street.
Yeah, I'm still in the same hillside villas the villas. And I would... At that point, I was hanging out more with Heidi.
Yeah, this is where Heidi tells you that she's over Jordan and she wants the boys and like...
Yeah, like Heidi would come over to my apartment a lot because Lauren was always with Jason. And then when Heidi wasn't with Jordan, she would come over to my place. So... That's how Heidi and I became super close.
What was the thing they used to always say, like Bible or like,
I don't know, that I used to say?
No, Bible was like I promise or like it's the truth.
There was some like saying I feel like her.
That was a Kardashian thing, no?
Huh. No, but Jordan and Heidi had something. I don't remember. Yeah,
I feel like they had a lot of little things. Yeah.
Brian just earlier. Threw them out. Like they would talk like dogs to each other.
Yeah, like poopy. Like,
all the nicknames. Well, after the fashion show, then the next scene, Lauren thinks she's going to get in trouble because Lisa calls her into the office again. But it's actually a good thing. It's about getting the intern to Paris.
It probably was a hard decision for Lauren to have to make because it's like your real life offer. And then it's like, yeah, but then you have to do this with all those cameras and in a certain part of your life, you know?
My girlfriend was very upset about that. We were watching the episode last night and she was like, she better go to Paris. Don't you dare not go to Paris. And she's like, and then it makes it look like she's going. And you guys did a great job in editing. Yeah. We're like, she's waiting at the airport, but it looks like you're thinking, oh, she's going to go. And then just goes.
I mean, Adam, I don't know who the creative person for that, but let's blame Adam for that one. Adam always had the best cliffhangers. Even the ending of the show, how we ended the entire.
Yeah,
that was a good,
Lauren used to be like, for ever ending, she'd, like, if someone would ask her to do something, they'd be like, you're just going to throw an Avril Lavigne song on this and just put it over at the end. She knew that like whatever he would do would make some moment.
But how, actually, you know, that's interesting you bring that up because how cool, one of the things I did notice when I was watching it is the music.
Yeah.
You know, we had the best music.
We're in the pilot, we have Rihanna.
Everything was Lady what we Gaga. Had, you know, because we were with MTV. So we did, I was watching all these different scenes and the music played such a big role in so much of
it
show.
It went with they were whoever was doing this music with the episode. And
was
the,
great.
It always went with like whatever was happening.
Yeah, even the lyrics of the song.
Yeah.
It was like,
well, that was a big thing. I think our editors were some of the best editors.
Absolutely.
They really knew how to, so much work was done on the back end. But the music, we had Rihanna, we had all these hits. And I think everyone was like, I wonder what this will be like on DVD, but we'll just take advantage.
You guys were so ahead of the game because all the shots that they used for this show, no one else, there was no other show like this that was shooting shows like from the air views.
It's almost like you guys had your own formula.
The music,
there was a formula. Yeah.
Yeah.
So ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And also, if there was Emmys back then, that Hill season one gets an Emmy. 100%.
Well, Emmys back then.
No, for reality.
For reality, I think Sham, you know, we had that, our director. And
Sham.
Yeah, and he made it look so, I can't like stress it enough like how well like shot it was, because if you think about a reality show, like that's just not usually the priority. And even what you're saying, like the B-roll, like we had helicopter shots, like Colin would go up in the helicopter and get these like big shots of LA. Like it wasn't just like we sent off or bought stock footage. Like they went around.
Or how it is now where you just send the drone and it does it for you.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, I have to ask, because I know the whole Paris, after watching it and the whole Paris and Jason thing. So that was real. Like, walk us through that storyline. Because she really got the internship for Paris, but then she really chose Jason over Paris.
She really, I think, okay, real is probably a hard word, but I think only because what is real, you know? Yeah. But I think the opportunity to go to Paris was real, but it was in real time an opportunity to go to Paris to film. And so I think, you know, that's a different decision to make, whether you want to go film a reality show continuing Paris or have this internship. Uh-huh. And so I think at that point, I'm not like fully remembering, but like she was in a real relationship with real stuff going on.
She didn't want to travel.
She didn't want to travel, but it was almost like she was saying no to filming. I don't think she was saying no to this like big opportunity, but I do remember Adam was like, you know, how could you not do this? How could you not do this? Like every day,
So they really wanted her to go to, even production really wanted her to go to Paris.
Yeah. I mean, it's very rare that a reality show gets to go to Paris. Right. I mean, we ended up going, but that's a big opportunity to get these. Anytime we had access to something, we kind of like worked backwards. Like what's going on in the Vogue calendar? Like, can we film there? And if we could, we were like, great. Like we had a pretty good budget, you know, for a show. A lot of that went to these locations, you know?
Mm-hmm. I really have, there's a show on Netflix called Emily in Paris or something. Yeah. I really think that somehow
it's inspired by Lauren.
Oh, it's funny. My girlfriend actually today said that. She said, like, I love that show. She even brought it up saying, because after she watched it last night, she watched like four episodes back to back. So she finally, she became like fan. She's like, wait a minute, this is like,
she started
to really get into it.
I think this was inspired by the hills and this Paris decision, because it's literally like, you could tell that it's like this little fashion girl that wants to like be in Paris and in fashion. And they like, this is.
I think you're right. Yeah. No, I think there's a lot of influence there. I mean, I think the difference in that is that I think at that point, Lauren, you want an internship at that age. You don't know that you want a career in that, you know? And so like, it's probably like anyone else thinking she gave up an internship is like,
I know,
crazy.
It's just everybody was like, she chose Jason over Paris. But yeah, I mean,
I don't think she regrets it. Yeah, I think she ended up at Paris. But I do think when you're watching, I think for, you know, people are always saying like, you're the girl who didn't go to Paris, you know?
Yeah, Lisa, I know. Love. That was the, yeah. Well, my God.
Also, the like, title. Again, it's like a, like Adam was, or the director, whoever is coming up with this, it's like the perfect thing you could have put for it. Like whoever scripted this is like, the girl has to choose between Paris and her love. Like it's like her love over here and her love over here. Like what?
Well, I ended up working out, but Adam would have wished she went to Paris. I think that. Yeah. So I think that's why everything happens for a reason. But I think we always sort of like worked around like, okay, well, she's saying no. Like, what's the storyline if she says no? Because you can't really force someone to go to Paris.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it was like her and Jason was supportive of that. I'm sure he was stoked she stayed.
It wasn't supportive when you're like, well, I'll support you, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, you've been there for me, so I mean, you know.
Yes, I'll have to be there for you.
Well, who knows? Who knows what was said when the cameras?
I had a soft
off.
Spot for Jason.
Have you talked to him lately?
No, I haven't.
He has. You should, just to like understand like what a
he's like a different
how he
being.
Grew up.
Yeah, I'm sure
he's
yeah.
incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm happy for him. I've seen like from a distance, but yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely grown up.
And then this is whenever. Yeah, me and Heidi were at the pool looking through our phones, ready to meet the next round of men.
Yeah.
Or boys.
Yeah, oh my God, we were at that pool for so long, all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
In the spa.
That pool is where we met you.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where you're casted, right?
That's where I was really laying out when I met Adam.
Yeah. I was getting a coffee
you
inside.
You were actually laying out and they just came up to you like, hey.
Yeah.
You
want to with Colin.
With Colin. Him and Colin. But I had those two roommates at the time, which hated me because they didn't get on the show and I did, which caused a lot of drama and I was out of there. I was like, get me out. But then I got my own apartment there, so.
It is crazy that it was the same location. I guess a lot was going on in that apartment.
There is a lot going on in that whole complex.
Production would park at the Grove and then walk over. And so, like, anytime, like, we'd be like, okay, go past the Kmart to the so-and-so. And you're like, this is crazy. Like, this little center is nuts.
I know. Gosh, that was so fun, though. Heidi would love – she wanted to revert back to preschool when she had a new boyfriend every 5 minutes. Oh, my gosh. I love Heidi. Yeah. She's just –
she's great on the show. Even my girlfriend was saying that. She was just like, Heidi's so fun.
She's always been
very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like very, just would say anything, you know.
Bubbly,
Just like,
I think a few people were coming off of, if you either saw Laguna or were on Laguna, you probably were a little bit more guarded. And she was coming off of it with fresh eyes. So I think she was able to be like, this is fun. Like, I'll go. And like, LA was new to everyone, you know,
but but Heidi, especially because she wasn't from California. She was from Colorado. So she was just, it was like Hollywood, this whole new experience in LA.
Now, Sophia, you were like in this like other bubble, not just the hills, but you were like in the bubble of like the A-list, it girls, all the best friends. Like you were like, what did they say to you when they would watch the show? Would they be like, oh, that's Sophia's show? Like,
Like, I remember me, you and Lauren, we would go to dinner with Nicole sometimes. Yeah. And she used to like ask us a million questions about the show. Like she loved The Hills.
I think she loved, I mean, she does love it. I think, you know, she was on her own show and it was like a different format. And like she's from here and I think she got a kick out of it. Mm-hmm. And I think to our credit, not mine, but like Adam and everyone, like everyone worked really hard. And so producing it was kind of like producing, it's not really a reality show, you know, it was sort of like this bridge. Mm-hmm. And so I think there was a lot of like fun things that are like about the production, like room tone or, you know what I mean?
Well, you
like,
got to give yourself credit that you were the one that was like, nah, we're filming here. I have the connection to Brent. I have the connection to Coy. I have the, like you had the connection to what was cool that made it legendary. Those things are the things that people come up to people and go, oh my God, like, dude, do you remember when they were fighting at your birthday? And I'm like, well, yeah, I do remember.
Yeah. Well, I think, thank you. But I think it's also like I was young and so was my first production, like producer job. And so I didn't really have like a history of producing. So what I could bring to the table was, you know, Adam.
You brought a lot to the table with all of that.
It factor and being able to kind of like you could.
Communicate.
You could have been on the show, type of thing. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. That means a lot. No, they had that role they created in Laguna, which was like talent producer. So I was like a talent producer for a while, and then, but yes, but I think for the locations and stuff, it was that everyone was not from here, but cool, and like they wanted to be a part of things. And so I honestly sometimes rather than going to a club, I like loved filming in clubs. It was so funny.
We could just like sit back and watch all the chaos.
Honestly, all the time. And when they'd be like try to order pizza, I was like, we have to shut this down.
Oh,
like,
we did that all the time. Yeah. At the end of the night, we'd order pizza to the club.
Totally. Yeah. But I think that it felt nice to like sometimes I would get nervous when you guys go to clubs without us because I do think that there was a lot of like, we made sure everyone got home or we make sure people, I mean, not that they're responsible, like Uber wasn't really around. So there were certain parts where it was nice to be a production being like.
And you didn't know what was going. I mean, now we have social media. A lot of times people are posting on their stories. They know what's going on.
Yeah.
But back then it was like, whatever, nobody knows what happened unless
except tell you what happened. Those like BBM on T-Mobile sidekicks. I used to call it. Yeah, or BlackBerry.
AIM was for Sidekick and then BBM the was for
BBM. I had a joke I was BBM Productions because I would just on my I do my whole job from BBM. I'd be like, okay, they're here. They're going here. They're just going.
However you want to make a splash this year, Wool Runner Mizzles from Allbirds can help every step of the way. Wool Runner Mizzles are shoes crafted with premium supernatural weather repellent materials. The high top uppers are moisture wicking merino wool with puddle guard technology, and the supernatural rubber treads ensure all weather traction so you can jump into anything, rain or shine. Make a splash with Wool Runner Mizzles from Allbirds. Discover your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's allbirds.com.
But you, does Jason is in the beginning, is the end of here.
Mm-hmm. So this is towards the end of the episode. So like Lauren says goodbye to Heidi, walks out, and then they cut to Lisa Love at the airport. But you think Lauren's going to the airport.
Like she's waiting for Lauren.
And that she's waiting. And then they show Jason on the balcony, and then they show like legs walking up, and it's Whitney going to Lisa, and then Lauren goes to Jason.
But Whitney didn't go, or?
Well, in the show, it looks like she went to LAX and she's going to Paris, and Lauren chose Jason.
And then I was so into it. I watched another episode.
Really?
Did you?
You watched the second
season?
Wait, isn't there
don't tell me because I haven't watched it yet.
I mean, Whitney went to Paris, you know, or whatever.
Did she actually go to Paris, though?
Yeah, I mean, we're jumping ahead, but I mean, did she?
Like, did you take that internship?
Like, what was inside that
carry-on? Yeah.
They don't really touch that much on it. They just come back and say, oh, how was Malibu? Because I think, you know, to your point earlier, you were saying that you missed a lot of like the real, like there was a break in production and then they broke up and all these things happened. So when you guys do go back to filming it, it's very just like, well, we missed so much. Oh, yeah, Paris was great. How was Paris? Oh, me and Jason are done, you know, but you missed so much because the show ended with Lauren and Jason just about to enjoy beautiful Malibu. And then we really got to
see none of that. It's probably the next one, but I have like a specific memory of filming. It's like a first like real scene. And I was like, I should not be here. This is so crazy. I was like in the attic, like
with Lauren and Jason?
God. Yeah, with like production. I wasn't just me in the attic, but I was like, oh my God.
Like, they were like, what, they're fighting gnarly? Or?
I think it was like the return. of items or something. We were like,
oh, right.
That, I don't know. If, I honestly don't.
In the car or something on the street?
Yeah, it's the car in the street. But right, we like, right. It was just like, you know, this is the a real relationship, especially at that age. It's like really heightened. And there was.
Lauren's crying.
Yeah. And yeah. Like, aww. I know. It was really hard to watch when one of the kids, like when the kids would cry, it was really hard
when
for me.
When the kids, we yeah. were the kids.
So,
we were the kids.
So we just had Jordan in one of our episodes and we go through the breakup. And he was kind of, we were talking about you, how like he had to like face you before he walked in and he knew it was the death sentence type of thing. Like where like he was like about to get like.
Yeah. Walking into something.
Walking into something.
I know. It's hard because I obviously.
You guys got attached to us too.
Yeah. And like we knew what was going on, but then you never really know in like real time what's going to happen. And then, you know. I also like didn't sign up for a reality show. So I do think there is an element of that where you're like, you know, I don't think we push the limits as much as I think shows do now. I really don't. Yeah. I do
think, you guys were very respectful in that.
Yeah.
Way.
I do think there was like a code of like, okay, we're following this. So if we're following this, can we just keep this in like, you know, in this bubble because it's part of our jobs, you know? Mm-hmm. But with something like a breakup, it's just we kind of just had to, we ended up being better at going with the flow. But
Jordan felt that it was pre-planned to like give her like an out so she could like blow up on the show. Like the production
or
was
to be
like
single, like the,
like hey,
know.
Go be single, Heidi. No, what are you doing arguing? Like
I don't
somebody
think,
had to push it. No?
No, I honestly don't think we were that invested in that because it was at first, you know, there's like the way you break down an episode is like A, B, C stories and the characters go this. It's like a kind of like the post-production is like a scripted show. Like you have a storyline that you follow. That's the main one. And then it flips and who the characters are. So I think at that point it was definitely not like a setup. But I think if Heidi had any like desire to do a certain thing, she's part of the main cast. Mm-hmm. You sort of go with what the main cast energy is, you know, and then as the cast got bigger, we figured that out. But definitely, like, no one was, like, trying to, like, set that up. But I think it was unfortunate where you're like, okay, this is people's, like, real relationships.
Yeah, there's a lot of blurred lines.
Yeah. And I think probably it must be hard to be on a show and being like, maybe it's more fun to be single or maybe it's not, you know, or harder to be in a real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember even in your own friendships, like, people would be like, is this for camera or on camera? Like, you
well,
know,
yeah,
like,
I got to that point where
yeah,
it's like,
you used to say that a lot. Real? You're like, is this for camera yeah. or not for camera? And I'd be like, oh, it's so sad that like you
there's
have
this,
to ask.
Yeah. Because then you start questioning your real friendships and relationships and like who you can trust or what's real and fake.
Yeah.
Or not fake, but you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
what the person
produced,
what's yeah. produced and what's like genuine. But gosh, all right, well, that is the episode.
Yeah.
So now we're going to get into what was real and what was not during season one.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you some questions.
All right, I'm going to try to remember.
Okay. Okay. So number one, Heidi's job at Bolt House.
Yes.
Was she actually getting a paycheck from Bolt House?
Don't quote me on it, but yes, I think so.
Okay. So the Teen Vogue party in episode one, did Lisa Love and Blaine know about me and Heidi crashing the party?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Was this?
I mean, I think they knew enough to be like.
Something's going to happen.
Something's going to happen. But what the details were, right. they didn't really.
Yeah.
They were doing their real jobs, you know? So yeah. they were like, okay, fine. Like,
let's surprise them. And let's.
I think we made a bigger deal out of two more people coming. Like, if you think back,
like
how
Lauren's
important
gonna get
it is
fired.
To. Yeah. I mean, you already have camera. So how important is that? But a lot of that is like setting up the scenario where there are stakes and sometimes you have to create stakes where they're not. And so this is one of those where ultimately it plays for that, but I don't think they were as, you know.
Here's a good one.
Yeah.
Why did they cut Brian's comedy show in season one when everybody was like the whole cast was there together?
A lot of times. Okay. So like a formula for scenes used to be that if just because the whole sometimes it's more difficult when the whole cast is there because you might need them in another scenario to tell a story. So if they're all in one place and then you suddenly cut to another scene. But if nothing really happened where we didn't really have a lot of storylines where it was just like someone doing their thing, you know,
there's
like
always a story.
Like
some
it doesn't
drama.
Really it has to push the story along in some way. So there's so much that got cut. So I imagine that was less about like, what do you get out of that scene? What tells you like they're, you know, unless something happened there, it's sort of just background and it ends up, you know, each scene's like a minute. So what do you get out of that minute? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. This is another good one. Did any producers kind of fight for Brian and Jordan to come back for season two? Or was everybody like, okay, we've done what we had to do with them, on to the next? Before knowing Brody and Spencer were going to come in, right? Because that was just like a...
Keep in mind, like, think of the poster, you know? Like it's really about... It was around, like, Sex and the City. We were sort of, like, going off of this, like, what do people care about? And it was the four girls. So mm-hmm. I don't know that they fought or didn't fight for, but I think the priority was, okay, we just lock down what the concept is. Because it was first following Lauren to LA was Adam's idea, you know? And I came on as, like, that's kind of what I thought it was. And then it sort of evolved into... Oh, we met Audrina, and then obviously it was going to be following Lauren to LA and her friend Heidi. Mm-hmm. And then we sort of went that Sex and the City route of mm-hmm. like, okay, we have these like four really interesting women who are like figuring out their lives. And so we focused on that. But
and was Whitney casted or no?
No, Whitney was, if I remember correctly, we were filming at Teen Vogue and she was there for a real internship mm-hmm. at GQ or something upstairs, and someone saw her and they were like, we needed someone to do interviews because it was people were interviewing for internships, and so she did it. But it honestly makes me laugh because she really did not want to be on the show, like, at all.
I feel like
at all,
the whole time.
So it makes me like,
till today,
yeah.
She still doesn't want to hang out with us. Yeah.
Well, but she like had, you know, she was like going to college. She like had her life. She was like really being like, I want to get this real internship. I care about fashion, you know? And yeah. So I think we were always sort of negotiating with her.
And yeah, she did get her spinoff.
I knew Whitney before The Hills because Spencer like growing up in LA, Crossroads.
Yeah.
And, like, when I saw her on the show, it was like, oh, Whitney, you're on the show.
She also had a boyfriend off camera that like
Dave
Spencer.
Churn.
Yes.
Yeah, Dave Churn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he was like an LA kid. So I think for her, she wasn't sure.
Spencer's best friend.
Yeah, she wasn't sure if it was like cool to be on the show or not cool. I think she like didn't. Yeah. She was like, I'm in college. Like, what's.
She was kind of not. Yeah, she wasn't into it.
Yeah. But she was into the internship, and then I think she grew to really.
I mean, how can you like put anything down when you're on the cover of Rolling Stones at some point? You know?
Yeah.
Like,
that was,
you guys got so big that you were on the cover of Rolling Stones.
Oh my God. We were filming in the closet, the Teen Vogue closet, and they were looking at covers, and the cover of that month was them. And we were like, this isn't too meta. Like, they're interning for a company they're on the cover of.
And by the way, because of other shows, I wish that they would have followed their success and their fame, like how they got famous. Kind of like how the Kardashians, like, now you know they're famous and they go to
like included
red carpet
the fame into the show.
Include the fame and include – they never did that even till
today.
Do
you think so? I mean, I don't know if that would have – I thought there was something pure about that, like where we didn't break –
I'm saying probably season four, they were
then,
famous and you're like, really, then, you're famous and you're doing
we
this?
We would be filming at a cafe and be surrounded by like 30 paparazzi.
That's when I like, yes, that was terrible. Once that happened, I think we should have either gone with it or
cut. Hard. Yeah.
But yes, I think it was a hard, we wanted to keep everyone in the world of this is your real life still. Like, you know, but then when everyone became, people would call us out. Remember we filmed like an airport. Because it's like hard to get permits at LAX. So we filmed an arrivals and a depart. We did like, you know, entrance and exits. Mm-hmm. And like Perez Hilton or things back in the day were like caught shooting. And like they had the same nail polish.
Oh, yeah. The hair part.
And I'm like,
continuity.
Yeah. We were like, well, you pay us to film at LAX. Like, you know how hard it is to get that? Like,
he called us out all the time for things. The hair part and everything.
Yeah.
Shoes. So since Whitney didn't go to Paris, did she actually do an internship in New York City for Teen Vogue instead?
I don't think so, but she did end up interning at Teen Vogue, but I don't know that she.
Okay.
Well, we have to ask her because that's a little blurry to me.
Well, Whitney, we would love to have you on. Why not? Right?
Yeah. I mean, one day we'll see. So did the producers really fly Josh the date, Heidi's like date from San Francisco to spruce up the drama between her and Jordan? Was that real or not real?
I honestly like do not remember that. Sorry.
Because Jordan was pissed off that he was there, but he's like, how is this guy here out of nowhere?
I mean, it sounds like something we would do, but I feel like I would have had to do it. And so
You would remember.
I think I would remember, but at that time, it just was so the building blocks of the show. So the priority was so much about like the Bolt House, the Teen Vogue. Mm-hmm. Like those were really big cast like relationships for us. So I think that we kind of like let the kids be like, okay, I don't know. Are you guys together?
I
or not together?
That you keep referring to us we as were,
you guys
the
were the kids. Like the kids are coming, the kids or whatever.
We were kids.
We were. I mean, now I think that like in retrospect, like you were not, but yeah. like,
oh, we
yeah.
were.
Yeah,
we definitely were.
Yes,
compared
we were.
To now. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, because Jordan did say that a producer told him it was set up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised at it. I feel like once there was maybe like Trouble in Paradise over there, people were like, okay, we're following a different story. You have to remember a lot of them were coming off Laguna, where these are like deep relationships in high school where things move really quickly.
Right.
And so everyone here was sort of getting to know each other. So I don't think that it was as easy to be like, how do we show them as close when like they just met you and they just, you know, they just started internships. We're like, no, TV needs to feel like a little deeper of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And so trying to put everyone in situations where they were together the most and who was the closest so it would look real. You wanted people to be really friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's hard to produce friendships, mm-hmm. you know?
Okay, we have some more questions.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot, Sophia.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do what I can.
Yeah. This one's about Jason's birth. Lauren's birthday, and Jason set it up at the Standard Hotel. But obviously, I don't see Jason going and buying all those flowers,
rose
and
petals, all those.
Oh,
grass.
Yeah.
Well, if he did it, we would have seen him doing it. Trust me, he would have been out there on the floor.
Opposite. I think that if you would have really done it, it was the other way around.
Oh, you don't think they would have showed that?
I think we did it, but I'm pretty sure. But I also have to say, it's like this weird thing where, like, I actually give a lot of credit to you guys is because I do think that we'd be like, great, film in this location. And then like you guys would pay for your own meals, you know, towards the end. I think we like, you know, not toward the end, but we try to work
it like
out.
One meal and one drink.
Right. No, but I'm just saying like it is like it was this weird thing where it's
Spencer's first time filming on the show. His credit card got denied.
Right. But
in front of everybody like goes to pay for the dinner and they're like, sorry, sir, it's declined.
But I think, yeah, I mean, to his credit, he probably was like, shit, why would you guys should be paying for this? Yeah. It's a TV show, you know? But I think for us, we're like, no, it's real.
Okay, so obviously we saw the girls in the apartment all the time and they left the apartment. Did you guys clean up that apartment? Did these girls actually move out themselves? What was the deal with them? You guys probably,
No.
Was that a real apartment? Did they really live there?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, I remember this. Okay. They lived on one side and then we moved over to the other side. Yeah. We did help.
Because wasn't at one point you guys had like a stage apartment?
Well, I was going to say.
You did help decorate and everything because when I moved in with Lauren, I was like, we got to like revamp this whole place. Like, remember we got like new everything.
Yes. And I think it's because we put practicals in the lights. So like all the light boxes and stuff, like all the lampshades or whatever had to sort of be production, but there was never like left, you know, microphones or anything, you know.
No, not mics, but I mean there was definitely like even at my house in this past one, like every single recessive lighting was covered with like something, or there was lights in the corner that you would just leave, so whenever you'd show up you turn all the lights on and it's like go time.
Yeah, because it would take an hour to set up each one. So yes, was really, and then we did probably help support that move, but not imagine like the first season is like less hands-on and then it just gets more and more hands-on because like we need something out of it, you know. But really at the beginning the idea was like, of course you would move yourself, then it's like, well then we're gonna be filming you, so
I know
we should,
you might as well just do it.
But you really live together, so
yeah,
I mean,
that was all real.
Yeah,
I mean
that's like college roommates, that's like a big
time. You guys would show up, we'd get home like at 3 or 4 in the morning and you guys would show up at like 8 o'clock knocking on our door, wake up, get downstairs in 5 minutes, and we're like so hungover. There were those moments.
We only had
you were only 20 years old, why were you hungover?
Totally.
When we were 21.
Yeah. But yeah, no one ever cancels for being too hungover.
No, we still,
everyone powered through.
We powered through everything.
Yeah,
I remember someone,
because we had the energy back then. I mean, my God, it was nowadays. No, you wouldn't see me for 2 days after.
Yeah, bro, just
the amount of alcohol that we drank
bro
back then.
Canceled some of us.
Oh my God! Jesus Christ, those were wild nights.
Well, the me and Brian date.
So was this set
that
up?
That was set up. I feel like Heidi, it just, because it was Lauren and Jason, Jordan and Heidi, and then Jordan and Brian were friends. So they, you guys were trying so hard to get me to like have like the trio, like if I dated Brian, then we could all hang out or have a story, but it just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
You weren't feeling the vibes from Brian?
No.
Really? So first base.
Where was the date?
Gaiukaku.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Remember? Yeah.
Gaiukaku, that sounds like.
Yeah.
Have you never been there?
No.
You like make your own meat.
It's like your Korean barbecue. You like.
Oh, okay.
You probably filmed this scene there.
Maybe.
We've been there.
Have we? Gaiukaku. Oh, yeah. La
Cienega, down by us.
He's like, I remember now.
I do.
We've been on some dates there.
Yeah, only a couple.
Okay, last question, Sophia.
Yeah.
What was the craziest story you've gotten out of a cast member for the purpose of this story?
I felt like very clearly my job was to like have like understand what was going on with the talent because I was a talent producer and then go back to production and say,
oh, you're a secret agent.
No, but like, it would be like, okay.
You were like a therapist.
You were,
yes.
Yes. Like that too, yeah. Thank you.
But I do think part of that was like, okay, this is, you know, a birthday is coming up or they're on good terms or not good terms. Like, okay, then I'd go back and they would say, well, where do we do that? Where would that happen? Like, where is that in their day? So it was a lot of like logistics, you know? And so I feel like part of the stuff for camera is like, you know, when people would break up or they'd be in real friendship fights, you know? Yeah. Like, I think that was like hard for me because it was hard to go back and be like, we have to go film that, you know? And, but
yeah,
I
feel like there were a lot of those moments because we were all so close to you too. So
yeah. The roommate stuff was the hardest stuff because mm-hmm. you're like, yeah, it's really frustrating to have roommates, you know, and in general, and then you have mm-hmm. a TV show on it. So I think I felt bad for the whole situation, you know, but that we didn't really know what to do. And like, there weren't a lot of women on the crew, you know? So I feel like a lot of the guys were sort of like, let's keep it moving. Like they were like, they broke up, they're together. Like, let's go.
We're way more emotional.
Totally. Yeah. And like, you didn't have your families here. And so I felt sort of responsible in a lot of ways as like a sister or something to be like, wait, they're like in, you know, real friendship fights and real relationship stuff. And like, even though your family was in Orange County and Laguna and obviously Colorado, but it did feel like we were sort of like at camp.
Well, you guys were our family. We never really went down Orange County.
No, you never had any breaks.
Like, no, we were filming nonstop.
And the way you let us into, you know, the homes and stuff was production would just be in there setting up, like, while, you know, through your stuff. Like, I've, like, sat under someone's bed with, like, truly their, like, stuff there. And I'm like, oh, my God. This is
laying on there.
Yeah, you know, so, like, we really.
Towards the end, I got to remember there was, we would catch them in Cabo and all of a sudden, because we used to do this little thing on our mics where we'd just be like,
oh yeah,
hey, hit the mic as you're talking, and so they couldn't use the audio it. And then you guys are like, oh, these motherfuckers, and you started putting them underneath the tables. We'd find little mics hidden. You guys started to really
how many times
you were always on top of that, Brody, always looking for the mic.
Yeah, he had a lot more to be paranoid about than the new beginning thing.
We found a guy in the bushes trying to film Brody. And I'm like, I go, Brody. And he goes,
I don't think we would have done that.
Was out of line.
I don't think we would have done that. But
no, you guys were good. I think it was more to, not to spy on us, but actually it was sort of to spy on us to hear what real conversations we were having to be able to produce the show for them, not using the audio, but just sort of be like, okay, what is actually going on?
Yeah, but
there?
You guys would take your mics into the bathroom. So like,
well, we would try to take them off and then you guys would film up against the door and like,
yeah,
listen.
I remember being like, I cannot hear them pee one more time. Like I was like, we'd be like, oh, they're in the bathroom. Like, and then like one person would have to stay on in case anyone was talking, but I'm like, I can't.
All right. Before we get into Frankie's confession corner, Sophia, what have you been up to now? Like what's been going on?
Well, I had a content site called Hello Giggles, and then I sold that to Time Inc. And now I'm in the food space, and I have a seasoning company with Chef Roy Choi.
Love Roy Choi.
Yeah, the Kogi Jack. Yes. Yeah, we have like a plant-based vegan pasta seasoning mix.
Oh, my girlfriend would love that.
No, she vegan?
She's vegan.
Oh, yeah, I'll send you some for sure.
Yeah, I love that.
But yeah, so I'm in like the food space, not really TV stuff, so But I'm happy to, I was happy to take a break from it.
Are you ready to go to the new beginnings with us?
Honestly, it would have been a lot better if we had you.
We have a new show idea. It's called Over the Hill.
Yes. Over the Hill. You know what? I think a big lesson from seeing this is like sometimes when you let it breathe with these longer scenes and with music and stuff that it really can hold the test of time. I do think you guys doing the show is great because people are rewatching the show and they're watching it because they're like, we loved LA. Like they love these characters. Like it's not a silly drama to people.
So many people come up to me and they're like, we moved to LA because of you and because of the show and we went to Ladue and
you guys really made an effort to like take LA by storm for and
well we had you guys with us so
we went in
okay well Frankie I think it's time for your confession corner.
I want to know,
do I feel guilty?
I would say yeah. Is there any part of you like that you feel a little guilt of like how certain things came down at the end? And the other one is like, who was your favorite cast member?
Okay, that's a two-parter.
Yeah, but because the first one, like, it's easier, and the second one, if you don't want to answer,
she's gonna answer. You have to pound a warm spicy margarita mimitas.
I wouldn't say favorite, but I would say during the season, Whitney was the most like-minded person to me because we had both grown up here, and so. It wasn't she was my favorite, but like we were in her family, like we had a good like rapport because it was sort of like I'd be like, come on, Whitney. Like she would just talk in the same way that I would talk. And so I felt like comfortable. Even though she was frustrating that she wouldn't film, I sort of got it because I was like, I guess I don't know if I would film. You know, like so I feel like Whitney was the one that I was sort of like
save big on brunch for mom. All in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Easiest, but I think at the same time, all of the like Audrina, Heidi, and Lauren all became like super important in different ways. But I think that overall, I'm still really close to Lauren, you know, and I think because of that is like a sisterness of, you know, you spend so much time with someone and it feels like I didn't go to college. Those are the years I was. Could have gone to college.
You're at Fidham with her.
Yeah, I was at Fidham with her. And so I have a lot of love for her. So, yeah. So I would say Lauren. But I loved all. And then when the guys came in, it was just a different role. It's hard for a woman to, like, ask a guy so many things. Like, I felt really comfortable with the women because I was like, okay, you're breaking up. I can relate to it. Yeah. Sometimes it was more helpful when, like, a director or Colin or something would talk to the guys because it's no one – I'm going to come off judgmental if I'm like, oh, you're dating like four people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just wasn't the right role for that, even not to gender it. But I think in that scenario.
When it comes to the four girls, you're like, which one had to go if someone.
Which one had to go? At the moment.
Which one would you kill, Sophia? Yeah.
If I had to answer it, it's not kill. But I would say at that point, I would have cut Whitney because I would have said, let's put you out of your misery. You know?
Yeah.
Because
she didn't want to be filming. Yeah.
Because I think. She hated filming.
She's so good at answering the questions.
No, but it's serious. She didn't want to film, and I think everyone else was, like, hype about it. So it makes a difference, you know? Yeah. You don't want to be too hype, but you want to have that.
That's a great response.
Yeah.
Put her out of her misery.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Follow, rate, and review The Hills Rewatch wherever you listen to your podcast. And if you like to watch us, go check us out on YouTube. Thanks so much for being here, Sophia.
Thank you. Nice.